Nada por mi alma. This committee, we know our role to oversight. We need to intensify our oversight in our meetings and doing the oversight visits and communicating with the public so that at the end of the day we make sure that there's effective service delivered, that people are realizing. Without a waste of time, we are aware that this morning we heard about the passing on of our veteran, Comrade Sakada, who contributed a lot to the liberation of the South Africans. We are where we are because of their contribution. You can just observe a moment of silence.
Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. I've got two apologies, one from the MP Magadia and the other one from the Chief Minister who's attending the meeting, the Departmental Committee.
Thank you very much. Those are the apologies. Any other apologies? Can we then proceed to the next item? Honourable members, I've got the correspondence from the commission that informs us that Mr. Ribachi Maputa was appointed to the commission on the 7th of March 2012, who is based in the National Office in Pretoria and has been appointed also work done by all men provinces. His primary focus has been to oversee settlement of claims and abstract reflection of land claims. He's a member of the Quality Control Committee, which sits accordingly to determine the mass, the quality check, and document approval of the approval of such activity submission before final approval by the Minister of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform or by the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. The Deputy Land Claims Commissioner took an offer for the position of the Chief Director, Labour Tenants in relation to the Land Tenure and Administration of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, with effect from the 1st of March 2017. This leaves the Commission with two commissioners, that is the Chief Land Claims Commissioner and the Regional Land Claims Commissioner, to carry forward the mandate of the Commission on Institutional of Land Rights. The two commissioners will work together going forward until such time that the appointment process for the new Deputy Land Claims Commission is finalized. We think that members are actually informed of these changes and to make aware that in the event of the Chief Land Claims Commissioner not available, the Regional Land Claims Commissioner will assume any responsibility. Information. Thank you very much for informing us.
one of the minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members of this committee, the Minister of Credit Authority and Deputy Minister, all present. Chairperson, as you indicated, we are presenting two reports, the one for the second quarter and the one for the third quarter. In terms of the format provided through the Office of the National Treasury, then we will, of course, in the course of this presentation, do a comparison in terms of performance. I am accompanied by the Deputy Chair of the Board, Ms. Payne, on my right, and on my left is Dr. Manopa, the CEO, and next to her is Mr. Mia, the Chief Financial Officer. Mainly the operationals, the report, because it is focused on the operation, I will respectfully request the permission of you, Chair, to ask Dr. Mangova to take this committee through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also the official from and the portfolio committee through the second quarterly report, the first quarterly report from the government information, and it's the mayor report on the financial information. In terms of the contents, I'll look at the program performance from program 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then, in the mail, we're going to take the quantum assumptions to the value of our performance. The presentation covers the organizational program performance in line with the core program of the Onyama Trust Board. That is also dealing with the standard. Budget during the second quarter, However, during that quarter, we think of because I don't think it's on this one in terms of those, but we think we'll actually finalize this policy during that particular time because of the agents of those policies that we actually approved, which was the IT policies that have been raised in some of the previous reports. IT policies, backup policies, and food policies. And they will be reflected also in the third quarter because they were supposed to have been approved in the third quarter. There was an over, I think, in day, last 3 years and was there. There was no reason they were supposed to be approved. And the performance of all movable assets will be recorded in terms of asset register. HR Commission can approve by the board the development of the plan that was supposed to have been done by the second quarter and there was 100% approval of that and therefore there was no variance because of that impact. Percentage of costs in relation to the HR provision plan, it was supposed to have been 100% in the second quarter. However, we have reached a 96.5% because we couldn't fill the cost of the economic administration position, which has become vacant during the course of the second quarter. So obviously, because of that, the number that we ended up with an underperformance in the recruitment process couldn't have been finalized within the same quarter because they vacated during the second quarter. Therefore, the basic manager impacted the appointment of the basic manager as in the position. To ensure performance agreements in ICT that are signed, they want 100% and 100% for all the workers in the agreement at the end of the quarter had performance agreements. Provision of skills development to improve service delivery. They wanted to do internal skills audits to be performed. There wasn't anything in relation to the second quarter because that had to be done in the first quarter. And therefore, there was no reason for buying. Number of training programs conducted were supposed to be 5, and we conducted 3. The variance was -2. The training was planned for implementation during the first year in order to fast track the delivery on that because they were postponed due to operational reasons because mainly those were related to senior management or policy related matters and appropriate because of issues of operations that had to be performed. To improve customer relations, payment of unrestricted invoices within the days of receipt of finance, that is to comply with and therefore there's no variance in terms of that. Number of memorandum of agreement signed with traditional councils approved by the board was approved to be 2 in the second quarter and 2 were approved and therefore there was no variance in relationship and that was the communication to the provision of sorry, I now move to problem 2. The first strategic objective, the provision of the personal rights to participate development in the Nyamachar plan. The performance indicator is number of land tenure rights approved by the board. The performance target was 450 and the second quarter results was 79 and the balance was 371. And here, the main reason that it was picked up was really an issue of performance management within the land management section. And then, the mitigation plan, we had to do the full analysis through operational plans of all the backlog to understand the reason for the backlog and thus then take a clear action planning is moving forward on how to manage it. Some of it was created years ago and 2 years back, which I think is very important for that study, and maybe a recent update, and members of the Personal Committee actually appreciate the fact that we undertook that exercise to be able to fully diagnose the problem, to be able to then close those loopholes in order to make sure that no such forming happens moving forward. The second element there was to maintain an integrated and comprehensive land tenure administration system or database of land tenures. The performance indicator was number of updates to the land holding register, which normally happens once a quarter, so basically that has happened and there was no variance of date. Number of land parcels for commercial use value. The target was 3 and we achieved 9. It's a plus, not a minus. The plus 6 variance in terms of the achievement rate. So it's from the final side. This was also the more focused that we started with in terms of valuation on the commercial property that we could say. And making track land available for infrastructure development at district municipal level. There the target was 2. The quarterly achievement was 0, which was actually the variance was minus 2. And the reason for variance was the capacity constraint in the section, and this was to be actually dealt with in the last quarter, since this was mainly focusing on the actual agreement between the municipalities. Ensure legal occupation of trust land, number of programs conducted to prevent illegal occupation, which was supposed to be one, variant was nil, and therefore there is no reason for variant occupation. Program 3, rural development. The first strategic objective is to provide support to beneficial communities to improve the security. Board approved plan on agricultural production that is in place, therefore there is no variance there. Number of potential projects of high commercial value for partnership with private sector. The working plan target for the second quarter, and therefore there isn't any variance for that. Number of agricultural projects approved by the board, which was 4 to 11. The result was 1. The variance was minus 10. And the reason for variance is that the bulk of the projects were approved during the first quarter, and therefore there wouldn't have been an additional achievement there of this particular item, because during the first quarter, the 12 were actually approved. 3.2, to facilitate economic development. The performance indicator was memorandum of understanding with other business development agency approved by the board. There was some supposed to be done during the quarter and there wasn't any target related to this particular set during this particular session. The next indicator was to identify strategically located land to be utilized for high impact commercial ventures. The performance indicator was a land audit conducted to identify prime land in line with the provincial special development framework for potential investment. The target day was focused, was supposed to be 2, and the result was 2. And there was no variance, and there was no deviation. For program 4, which is traditional cancer support, providing to traditional cancer, the chief audit performance based on both related education that was done. That was 1 for both times, and that was actually done in the proposal for our own staff, so that then they can be in a position to identify with the education that are critical for training for the country. So this training plan approved by the board, that was 1, and that was done. Number of traditional councils train, so supposed to be 2, and then 6 that you pay train, giving the positive balance of 4, and because of the new trends in training, in the question of containment, the river, especially in issues like 7 and 5, which is quite a challenge in terms of finding the punishment, sometimes the river. Facilitate skills development for young people on communal land, number of educational awards granted, 310. There wasn't, and the reason for this is because this was midterm, and I think as I actually present on the third and fourth, maybe just giving a highlight on the one that is now two members of the portfolio committee, we know that because of the start of the academic year, we have actually received that. But because it was mid-year, rather than normally given for the beginning of the year, we asked them the underperformance of the question. Maybe just to indicate these are some of the reasons that the county authorities have to be in the
Good morning to the Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister Chairperson, Committee Members, and colleagues. My presentation today is on the second quarter 2016-2017, the quarter ending September 2016. On slide 12, this slide represents the expenditure for programs. Currently there are 4 programs of the RGB, in terms of the ABP and staff plans. Program 1, administration, the budget for the second quarter was 11 million, amount spent 9.2 million. Percentage of the second quarter budget spent 83.8%. Program 2, land management, budget for the second quarter, 580,609 rands. Actual spent 299,266. Percentage spent 51.54%. Program 3 on rural development, which is the food security program. Second quarter budget, 2.25 million. Amount spent, 1.393 million. Percentage spent in that quarter, for that program, 61.91%. Program 4, traditional council stroke traditional community support. Second quarter budget, 7.7 million. Actual spent, 1.6 million. And the percentage of the amount of the budget for the second quarter on that program was 20.91%. Now go on to slide 13. This slide represents the comparison of expenditure per program. For traditional council support, 12.77% of the total expenditure was spent on traditional council support. 11.07% of total expenditure was spent on rural development. On land management, 2.38%. and on administration 73.78%. Slide 14. This slide reflects the expenditure per economic classification. For compensation of employees, budgeted amount was 5.3 million. Amount spent 5.1 million. Percentage spent 94.96%. On goods and services, the budgeted amount was 15.1 million. The amount spent was 17.398 million and percentage 48.76%. Rent, Urundi office, amount budgeted second quarter 29,000, amount spent 27,000, and percentage 93.1%. On capital expenditure, second quarter budget 1 million, amount spent 47,854, and percentage spent 4.7%. On page 15 or slide 15 is an overall summary of the expenditure. The total expenditure for quarter 2 amounted to 12.6 million. 58.26% of the second quarter budget was spent in the second quarter, including capital expenditure. 94.96% of the second quarter salary budget was utilized, and 48.76% of the second quarter was spent on goods and services budget. Slide 16 is an expenditure per economic classification, the comparison of expenditure in terms of the categories compared to the total expenditure. Goods and services made up 58.76% or 58.77%. Compensation of employees made up 40.64% of the total expenditure. Capital 0.38% of total expenditure, and rent on land 0.21%. Slide 17 and 18 is a schedule of goods and services, as this was requested by the committee previously. Slide 19 is a schedule of revenue. Rental income, the actual income received, the actual income generated 1.8 million, budgeted 1.8 million, percentage of the actual of the second quarter budget 100%. Other income, which includes servitude and contractual royalties, actual income was 1,574,000, budgeted was 101,896, percentage was 1,544.79%. You will notice a tremendous increase in that quarter. Investment income, 3.7 million actual income, budgeted 3.2 million, percentage income over second quarter budget 114.99%. Transfer payments, 8.28 million was received from the department, and also budgeted 8.28 million. Slide 20. The total revenue generated for quarter 2 amounted to 7.1 million, excluding the transfer payments. Transfer payment amounting to 8.28 million was received from the department for the second quarter. Total income, including the transfer payment, amounted to 15.4 million. The graphical presentation of actual income on slide 21. Slide 21 represents the various categories of income in total income. In other words, the percentage of a particular category of income, total income. Transfer payment made up 54% of the total income. Rental income, 12%. Investment income, 24%. And other income, 10%. That was a natural proof of my presentation of finance in the second part.
Thank you to all and the CFO for the presentation. Honorable members who have been listening to the presentation. Can I just talk to the presentation, comments, questions? When looking at...
Good morning, Chair, to the committee. I don't know if it's after Chair, I wanted to suggest that given the nature of today's program, that perhaps we've been noting that if you can have courtesy Chair, maybe procedure to take the last quarter as well from them, then we'll be noting and we can need to note them and raise questions and discussions at one. More often issues they go across from one side to the other in any way, and then we'll start trying to finish it.
Thanks, Chair. I'd already thought on the same way myself, especially that earlier in the report they indicate that chairs what they indicate what we should anticipate in quarter two. Yes.
By annual check,
unfortunately, these debts, there is nothing there because that has already been achieved during the mid part of the final, the financial year. In refer to the second quarterly report we find. Number of policies approved by the board, as indicated in the second quarter, initially there was none to be approved in the second quarter and approved three, and then as we moved to the third quarter, then we had four policies already approved. So in other words, we were the class one day, because in terms of the annual performance plan, we were supposed to have approved three by the third quarter and had four by the third quarter. Percentage of all movable assets to the project that 100% in the general balance. To ensure reduction of vacancies, a target provision plan that already has been achieved. In quarter three, we needed 100% of food sales, and we were sitting at 98% minus 2. Because the deputy manager administration position was not filled, because it was advertised but no suitable candidate was found. So the post became vacant in the second quarter. The process of recruitment and selection took place. By the third quarter, the process has been finalized on that, but no person was found to be suitable. And the mitigation plan on that one was to review the post, because we also knew that maybe we are not able to attract people of the right kind, but maybe because of all the salary structure that we had. The real estate manager position also was frozen at this point, and therefore the 2% was in relation to this, because it was still undergoing a review process. To ensure performance agreements, percentage of performance agreements concluded, we have said supposed to be 100%, and then at quarter three we had regressed to 91%. Remember in quarter two I said 100%. This was the result of the entrance of the specialist when then specialist that was so the new position that was created to do as plan with planning, as well as the contract positions that we also to deal with the big overhaul project. So those have not completed their performance agreement. We know that in terms of policy, people should be completing or signing their performance agreement within 3 months of occupation. However, this was still within the 3 months because the person took the position, I think around October, November, so we're still within the timeline. But we couldn't then say we now are 100%, so we think I had to then regress looking into the total picture of the number of staff members that we had. The provision of skills audit, I think there was nothing that was to be done on that in that quarter. Number of training programs conducted in quarter three were supposed to be three, and we did seven. It's a class four, and you know that on the other side we say they were less because of functional reasons, and therefore we then have to prioritize moving forward. Payment of undisputed invoices within 30 days of receipt, and that was done, and therefore there is no variance and there is no reason for any mitigation plan. Number of memorandum of agreement signed with traditional councils approved by the board, we suppose there are three and we have two. With the reason for this one, this shortfall, is that one of the actual MOAs was signed by the traditional council in November, but it could only go to the secretariat or maybe to ICP during the first quarter, the last quarter of the financial, and therefore elected to Britain because the TC assigned in November, but we didn't bring it on time. In fact, the underperformance on that one. But in terms of mitigation plan, we want to ensure that all of them inside the TC are actually collected and land planning, provision of petrol, land rights to facilitate the development of Yolamasha. Number of lands in our rights approved by the board. The target there was 250, and we achieved a result of 253 with a class 3 value. Maybe let me pause also on this aspect. I think when I was presenting quarter 2, I did indicate that during quarter 2 and early part of quarter 3, to the latter part of first portion of quarter 4, we did an analysis of the land planning in terms of Tenaral and the reason for the bottleneck. And that's why we, on this quarter, we're seeing the first part of an increase in terms of the approval of Tenaral, which was then as a result of that analysis. And I think as we sit now, we can, because at that point we even had to ask for the board to have. They now have established two teams that did 10 applications in order for us to be able to meet our target. I think that might be reflected as we move forward in the last quarter of the financial year, which, if one was to say what is currently happening, the performance overall on this is not going to have to be above 100% because of the analysis that was done. To maintain an integrated and comprehensive land tenure administration system, again, that one is a performance target that is at all updates and all that we take on on a quarterly basis, and that has been complied with, and there is no variance in terms of that. Number of land parcels for commercial use values, it was supposed to be 9, and quarter 3 was 3-0 in terms of our results. This is because this had already been achieved, and that is why if you look at quarter 2, I said 9 had been achieved, and therefore the discrepancy in terms of the as a result of it, otherwise this has been achieved. Making tract land available for infrastructure development at district level. A number of MOUs approved by the board, again, this item is still a challenge, I must be honest, because we are not succeeding in terms of achieving it, but we continue to engage at that level. Ensure legal occupation of Ngonyama Trust land, number of programs conducted to prevent illegal occupation. Quarter 3 was 2, and the 1 achievement was 1. Because the focus is the minus 1. One must be quick to say that this item, in some instances, tends to be reactive in nature, but we try and make sure that the educational programs are out there. The focus here is because it was a serious challenge, and that we couldn't do a lot. On new aspects because of the huge land invasion that was happening on the shoreline day, and all our energy therefore was targeted in terms of making sure that we make sure that that issue is dealt with. Program 3, grant development, provide support to the municipal community to improve land security. Board approved plan on agricultural production that has already been done. I think I've reported on this in quarter 2. Number of potential projects on high commercial value, that was the annual target was 1 and we reported on it. Number of agricultural projects approved by the board. Quarter 3 was supposed to be on planting season, because you can't always talk about approval. I mean, in terms of implementation, you're supposed to be at planting. There it was 9, the shortfall was 3, and this was due to delays in high density vegetation, which obviously resulted in long time taken for clearance of sites. as opposed to the trial and the trial planting that was supposed to actually happen, as well as planting. This was then 25 checks. To facilitate economic development, MOU with other business development agencies, that was still unsigned, what we were supposed to sign that by order 3. The consultation is still on with ADA, but also we're now looking at other partners so that we don't lock ourselves with one partner, so that then in future this doesn't yield any positive results, we have got other options that we can look into in terms of product beneficiation, because that was the reason why we wanted to engage the agricultural development agency for this one. To identify strategic and located land to be utilized for high impact commercial value, a land audit conducted to identify prime land. The target for quarter 3 was supposed to be 1. There wasn't anyone that was achieved during this time. This was due to capacity constraints, because it's supposed to happen at Matambi and Matuli during the first, fourth quarter. It is currently underway. Provide training under traditional council support for the 4 skills audits that are not dealt with. Again, in the issue of also capacity constraints. Training plan approved by the board that has already been done, and in quarter 3, so we suppose there have been 5 training conducted, and there were 5 training conducted, and there was no variance in terms of that particular issue. I must also say on this one, for the future, for this quarter, we might have a challenge because we lost the training officer. Unfortunately passed on during the first of this. So in quarter 4 was a challenge in terms of training, but in this one we did have a 100% achievement in terms of what we started with. Facilitate skill development for young people, number of educational awards given. In this quarter we didn't have but educational awards obviously be reflected. There were 108 now, as I can share with you, from 108 that were actually approved as a matter. This particular quarter is going to happen here. These were the commitments that we held, and I was going to be here for the financial information.
My presentation starts on slide 12. We've done a graphical presentation on the budget expenditure per program versus the actual expenditure per program per quarter. If one looks at net administration, you notice that there's an increase in the expenditure versus the budget as you go along from the first quarter to the third quarter. On land management, there's a decrease in expenditure versus the budget from the second quarter to the third quarter. On rural development, it's more or less the same. It's stable at about 59%. On traditional council support, there's an increase in the expenditure as compared to the budgeted expenditure as you go along the in terms of the 3 periods. Slide 13. This slide represents the expenditure for a program. For administration, third quarter actual, 10.2 million. Third quarter budget, 11.03 million. And percentage of third quarter budget, 92.2%. Land management, we spent 8,341 rands. third quarter budget 580,609. Percentage of the third quarter budget spent 1.44%. On rural development, third quarter actual spent 1.3 million, third quarter budget 2.2 million, percentage spent 59.81%. Program 4, Traditional Council of Community Support, third quarter actual amount spent 2.7 million, third quarter budget 7.7 million, percentage of third quarter budget spent in the third quarter 35.17%. Slide 14. This slide represents the expenditure per program to total expenditure instead per program. In blue there, administration 71.59% was the detail of administrative expenses. Purple one 18.94% on traditional council support, 9.42% on rural development, and 0.06% on land management. Slide 15, expenditure per economic classification and compensation of employees, actual spend of 5.3 million, percentage of actual spend in the third quarter to the total budget 24.86%. Goods and services, actual spend 8.8 million, percentage spend 11.18%. Rent, 27,000 rand spent, percentage spent 23.28%, and on capital 92,345.33 was spent in the third quarter, percentage spent 0.047% of the total capital expenditure for the year. Slide 16, a summary on the total expenditure. Total expenditure for quarter 3 amount to 14.29 million, 11.89% of the total budget was spent in quarter 3. 24.86% of the total salary budget was utilized in the third quarter, and 11.18% of the total goods and services budget was utilized. Slide 17 is a graphical presentation of the comparison between expenditure in share of per economic classification to total expenditure in care. Goods and services made up 61.66% of total expenditure, salaries 37.5%, capital 0.65%, and rent 0.19%. Again, schedule of slide 18 and 19 is a breakdown of the goods and services. That was expenditure and care on goods and services for the year, sorry, for the third quarter. On slide 20 is the schedule of revenue, income generators, rental income, actual income for the third quarter 2.8 million, budgeted 2.8 million, percentage of the third quarter budget 100%. Other income, including servitude and contractual royalties, amount budgeted 591,000. Actual income or received, actual income generated 873,506. Percentage income of the third quarter budget 147.87%. Transfer payments, the budget for the third quarter was 2.1 million and the actual received was 2.1 million. Slide 21, total revenue generated for quarter 3 amounted to 7.5 million, excluding the transfer payments received. Transfer payments received amounted to 2.1 million. Total income, including transfer payments, amounted to 9.7 million. Slide 22 is a graphical presentation of the actual income, the category of income, the total income. Transfer payments received comprised of 22% of total income. Rental income made up 30% of total income. Investment income made up 39% of total income. And other income, which is the royalties and servitudes, made up 9% of the total income. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, the second and third quarter report has been presented. Hoping that you have been meeting the issues that you want to raise. I will therefore give you the opportunity to engage on this on the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Honourable Minister and Deputy and the team. Indeed, it is quite pleasing to see where the ITB is at this point in time, remembering where we started in 2014. It used to be war and nothing else but war. And I think resilience that has been shown both by the board as well as the department is beginning to pay off. Remembering that it's all about the people on the ground. Just dealing with second quarter report, it's not a critically important question, but I think from a planning perspective it is critical to ask. Page 5, the service provider, you know, where for working on your IT infrastructure, why was that procurement delayed? On page 6, the performance agreements referred to there, an agreement is an agreement if two critical parties are signed. Have they now been signed by all parties? I've got a similar question on quarter 3. When you say they have been concluded, I take it that the word concluded is being used in a technical sense there. It's different from saying, you know, you finished drawing them. When you say concluded in the legal sense, you would be meaning that they have actually been signed by both relevant parties. So that would stand, you know, where similar question would stand for quarter 3. Have these agreements been signed by both parties? On page 8 of the second quarter report, I can only say that it is quite commendable to see, you know, where your thinking and your planning, you know, is practically all the sub-programs, you know, that you refer to in page 8, you know, provide support to beneficiary communities, facilitate economic development and identify strategically located land. But on the based on the third quarter report, as much as it is commendable for you to have reached that stage, the question will still arise when we get to the third quarter about your capacity. You report that not much has happened there because of capacity constraints. Exactly in which respects, you know, are you lacking capacity to do that? So I thought for convenience I might as well combine, you know, 2 and 3 when it comes to that. Just a general question on the second quarter, perhaps even going to the third quarter. How has the drought affected you? You're dealing with land. I see no reference at all to the impact of drought on your operations. I don't want to believe that you haven't yet started doing any operations, such that you don't refer to the effects of drought. Just about every corner of the country seems to have felt the impact of drought. How has it affected you? Or are you not yet there yet? On finances, quarter two, why is it that 74% of your expenditure is on administration and so much less for operations? You know, this does concern me, even including goods and services, because technically speaking, goods and services are a support service to the core function. Definitely, this board does not exist in order to run administration, does not exist in order to buy electricity to service cars. That is not what this board exists for, because once you combine the two, you find that your expenditure on support services is much, much higher in comparison to what you exist for. Third quarter, Chair, can I proceed to that one?
Sure.
Fewer questions? Well, I've already, you refer to page 6 there, and when you respond to my question about the agreements have been concluded. And then page 7, what are the underlying of the causes, what are the underlying causes of this illegal land occupation? I would guess that in order for you to deal with the problem, you need to dig a little bit deeper beyond below the surface and understand what are the underlying causes. When we went to Newcastle, we didn't have a very pleasant experience. In fact, our report tells you that we couldn't do much because we know, so therefore by now we know how hot the land issue is in the Newcastle area. And that's why I want to know from you, what is your experience there? Have you scratched a little bit beyond below the surface to find out what are the reasons for that, so that as this department, together with us as a committee, we can begin to look at finding solutions. The land issue remains a burning issue, so to speak. Page 8. In which respect, we've already spoken about your lack of capacity. Yeah. How relevant, on page 9, how relevant are the educational awards to your overall strategic goal as the ITB? I know that at some point last year you heavily reported to us about the number of awards, educational awards I'm referring to, that have been made by your institution to communities, to students. And in principle, we are not in disagreement with that, but we want to know today how relevant are they to your overall objectives. We hope that you're not taking money and taking students to college for them to learn about something that doesn't quite relate to the overall objectives of the ITB. Lastly, in page 18, 2.7 million spent on community beneficiaries. Can you give us a little bit of detail there? Exactly what are you paying for the, community beneficiaries? That's quite a chunk under your services and goods, 2.7 million. And we would love to know where. If some reminder, please bear with me, but would love to know what it is that you're paying for. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Chairman.
Honorable Chairman, thank you for your question. I want to echo my colleagues and thank you for the regulatory and financial to the board, in particular, which improvement and reporting. We've also finally covered quite a lot of things that I wanted to mention. I think I'll just take two questions, Chair. The one is on land management. In quarter two, we see that the ITB spent 51% of its budget for land management program 2. But in the third quarter, only 1.4%. And there hasn't been really CO, the explanation why there is that gross understanding between the quarter three and the land management budget. With regard to the issue of the land audit, one would want to know what measures have they put in place to improve the capacity, because that has been highlighted as a reason for not performing well in relation to that budget. What measures have been put in place to overcome the capacity constraints thirdly, Chair, with regard to, I think, the basic issue of land provision. So one would want to know, Chair, how they are dealing with it, Chair, in relation to what legal framework are being used, Chair, whether it's ESPA or whether it's PI that are being applied in relation to dealing with the land invasion, Chair. ESPA is the department and custodian is here in front of us, with the custodian, minister, as well as the DM, there again. One would be very much interested. So especially given the fact that we have visited the whole country last year, having hearings on this phone, and the first-hand experience of how people are having put off the land. And it will be a big shame, Honorable Judge, if the ITD is a part and parcel of the farmers who are kicking people off the land without having any concern with regard to what will be coming out in the chain.
That's what the report. It shows that the own administration is our performance has gone down from 66% to like 66.7% in the last financial year to 50%. So it's a clear regression, and it is quite disturbing. And at the same time, there are these MOUs that were signed with different communities and other institutions. I just want to check how are communities benefiting from these MOUs? What are they all about? What is this that they actually benefit from this agreement? And then if there are companies involved in those, what are those companies and what will be the overall package for the agreement that are there, if it is like you just said they mine some other time when you were in KZN. I think it's a quarry. You just said they quarry. Those are some of the things that I want to know. How are people benefiting from this? How much has this company benefited? And how much does it benefit? And how many people who come from those communities work?
Let me join my colleagues in particular honor the time to commend the ITP that since 2013 we've seen lots of improvement. And Chair really do indicate that I always move from the structure, otherwise it's like a ground rules. If the structure is not very consistent with the people doing the appraisal, then it becomes a kill from the onset. So I really relate to the structure so that the body is aware, so that you don't change it. Or you move, you regret and so far as that. On the structures here, both in terms of the program performance and the financial performance. It's almost close to 15 years of a legislature, I think this is the structure always known, and that's it. If there's innovation, it must however hinge on the very same tenets and pillars of this structure. I think this is what I would wish that the rest of our stakeholders in attendance at the meeting would draw positively from what one is saying, because sometimes it becomes like we are impossible when we want to propose that the structure must be. Having said that, I must say, however, that sometimes issues are evasive even within the structure, but at least it's much better. I'll go to program performance, for both quarters, and my apologies to the committee secretary that perhaps should have to find a way to shift program 2 from program 3 in terms of the recording and whatnot and the resolutions and so forth. So on for both quarters, on program performance, my first issue is a communication report. The targets there were for the second quarter 3, and none was met. It looked like the third quarter same. The annual targets are 12 for communication report. And I pick up a reason for variance on quarter 3 being a report completed. And I'm at loss, can we get more information? The report completed. But in the third quarter, the results were zero, and in the second quarter, the results were zero. So this report completed when? It must have been in quarter 1. What do we mean there? Am I the one who is actually lost? Or you need to rephrase and actually explain? It doesn't tally as it stands, simply put. It doesn't tally as it stands. You've got annual target of 12 communication reports. In both quarters, there is no performance of any of those targets. However, the reason for variance is that you have completed. So when did you complete those? There's still another mitigation plan of quarter 3. There's a set date in February, a month ago, exactly about a month and some odd days ago, that the report was supposed to have been tabled. So quite a lot of confusion there, Judge and CEO. Kindly clarify and perhaps correct. One is clear that despite the pigeonholes, there's something not telling there. So on performance issues, I'll pick up two more and combine about that. The MOUs, I think the Honourable Chapdelaine was covering that. But when I read in the report and I listened to the tabling, I was left kind of much more confused. You say the you say capacity constraints, and therefore, in other words, but in third quarter, you say they were finalized during second quarter. But in second quarter, you were saying there was variance due to the capacity constraints. Again, that page 7 of both, page 7 of second quarter, page 7 of third quarter. Before we agree or disagree or we comment. But if you look at the reasons for variance,
sometimes these reports are turn right through to 2 a.m., 3 a.m., so you can, but please, retable that quite slowly for us to understand what are you saying about those MOUs, because you say in the same quarter that you had a deficit of 2, none was delivered. In the third quarter, you just silent. I didn't listen even to the oral presentation. I found that it's a difficult area, it's a challenge area. You talk about capacity constraints. Please, then, I'm not sure such a one now. You have to say it's one good. What direction shall we go with? I'm on page 8, Chair, of both reports on performance, quarter 2. The indicated number of potential projects of high commercial value for partnership with the private sector. Right. But then, oddly, I don't know how we missed it here, there were no targets for quarter 2 and no targets for quarter, and no results therefore for quarter 3. And I mean for quarter 2 still. So there were no targets, and same applies to the quarter 3 on this high value commercial project. What happened? What happened? Did you miss it during the annual report? I mean, during the policy speech stage to, I call it that, to the picked up. So you have now a performance indicator that has no target. Some of you taught us, and you taught us that targets must be smart. M there stands for measurable. Now, but there are no quantities stated here. Shall I then go to the last leg of my questions, being the financial performance? I'll give credit to Mr. Mayor again on the structure of financial performance. But it's quick to say, I do know that Mr. Mayor, some of you were also playing with us, you were being creative whenever you saw that. If not, you will see as you will respond to some of the issues. One of the colleagues raised the issue of the total budget in the second quarter. The target was 21.6 million, but then the expenditure is 12.5. In typical parliamentary style, there's gross and expenditure there, which should get us at odds. It should get us at odds, the judge, in that the performance is clearly less than 58%. I don't know if 12.5, it is. 58.26%. You would know best that the variance, I remember at some stage I was agreeing with Ms. Calculator, variance, the norm that's acceptable is 2%, but the variance here is about 41.84%. So this is an odd variance you'd expect us and myself in particular to really question it. That is the under expenditure. Is there a plan, perhaps Chair, just to, so that it's not just open criticism, is there a plan, Judge, CFO, CEO, is there a plan to really catch up with this under expenditure? I'm picking it up on second quarter, perhaps the same would befall the third quarter. The budget was 21, but the actuals were 14. 66% expenditure. So again, there's under expenditure share that's reflecting in two quarters. Are we geared for an overall under expenditure? If so, it becomes unacceptable, you would know, Judge, so definitely that would be my comment. If not so, where is the plan to really, two quarters now, are dragging horribly? Right. Perhaps, slide 15, CFO. That's why I said somewhere you deliberately creative and innovative. Because clearly that slide is correct, like page 15, as long as slide 1. So I call it page 15 or slide 15. We don't have the target today. We only have the annual budget, which is a very interesting one. the third quarter actual, and then this third quarter actual versus the annual budget, so that we compare the actuals with nothing. I'm on page 15. So I think that there should have been a column for targets for that quarter, so that we know exactly where we are falling short in terms of that categorization of compensation of employees, goods and services, and so forth.
Right.
So clearly, that slide, ordinarily at my desk, I would have asked that CFO will go back to prepare that slide in a manner that it really becomes accountable and transparent. But despite it being like that, we can see that there is a problem there, and we can see the nature of the problem. And therefore, we are uncomfortable with it. Overall, Chair, my last point would be on the... No, let me just rest with those on the financial and overall suggest that the format seems to be workable in terms of us engaging and everything, but the overall worrying trend is that the under expenditure, it should be your headache, Judge. Thanks, we invite your comments. It should be your headache, CFO, and sorry, CEO and CFO. Please convince us. Alternatively, Chair, can my suggestion that a turnaround plan be submitted within 30 days on how we're going to deal with this, how or what's going to happen, because clearly this under expenditure is not accepted. My colleague has indicated that under expenditure also denies the people safety device. That's the angle from which we approach and we worry about it. It's unlike in a typical crude business where it would represent profits and preservation. But in a level of the state, it denies the people the delivery of services. Traditional council support, Judge, CFO, CEO, CFO, is the one leg that's terribly lagging. I've read, I don't know if you want me to quote, in terms of under expenditure. So it means the traditional council support is, when you respond, if I have a follow-up, in case you want to query that, it's not a cause in common. But I have picked it up that traditional council support is one of the areas, and I do not understand how, where there are so many traditional councils, even Luna and Lapana, KZN. So how do we have how do we get to be lagging in terms of supporting them, where there's budget set aside for that? But there is budget there, and we expect you to really support them. Thank you so much.
I think the questions were limited. Can I just ask you questions on the issue of the land audit that they're talking about? How are you going to fit that to the land audit that the department will be busy with? And secondly, when looking at your financial performance, the external audit. How often is the external audit being done? Because to me, the external audit is the audit that is being done by the auditor general or the other auditor which has been appointed by the auditor general to do the audit on their behalf. Traveling, the third quarter it was 1.2. million. In the second quarter it was 302,000. Three times. The third quarter it was three times the amount of the second quarter. Why? What was happening? The workshop. It was 1.2 million in the third quarter, second quarter, then the other one was 693,000.
workshop. The question of the allocation to community beneficiaries, the 1.5, how many beneficiaries? And are they going, are they getting the same amount if in monetary terms or what? Can we just clarify that? Board member remuneration. Third quarter it was 844,000. Second quarter it was 407,000. Can we explain that? Agricultural project. 1.3 in the first quarter, in the second quarter, and 1.3. The same, almost the same amount in both quarters. What is happening here? Can you please unpack that? Beginning and repair services. In the second quarter, there's nothing, there's no allocation for that. Then in the third quarter, is an amount that has been spent for the cleaning and the purpose. Can you also explain that? The underspending on the capita, which is 0.47%. What is that? On training, your target was 5, but your actual was 3. You have spent 57,000. Can you also explain that? The issue of goods and services is mentioned by, I think it's honorable to that. On administration, you're spending more. Administration and goods and services. We know that these goods and services are both underneath. Cutlery, cars, paper, which are not reported to us. So you have to go down and dig what was this amount spent on. Can you explain, CEO and CEO?
For me, I'll just give maybe an overview to these questions and problems. In particular, like the Honorable Mbuni said, that if you move from a structure, you understand better. It's just to remind this committee once more that if one looks at the structure of the Ngonyama Trust, in a nutshell, what the government provides in terms of law and in terms of practice, what the executive authority provides and is obliged to do so, to report, is what you call gear administration, in other words. That's what the government only provides. In other words, it gives you money to employ people and have an office, but it doesn't give you money for projects. So all these projects were either in underperformance or what, that is the money that the board must first generate and then use. So that is the money effectively in the typical government practice, even if it's not used, does not go back to treasury because it belongs to the people. That is one significant point I think we need to make all the time to say, a budget of 120 million rand against 19 or 18 million to get from government, you must generate this 100%. That is essentially how it is. In other words, it's not your typical government structure per se, but it's a quasi government, quasi private. So therefore, the question about underperformance or perceived underperformance in terms of food sometimes is seasonal. You will see that in some quarters it may be high, some it may be lower, but with reasons, because we undertake to perform at a particular pace. And therefore we must have reasons if we underperform or we overperform. But it can never be adequate. So those reasons will have to be explained, because otherwise there would be no misalignment. So, but I just wanted to emphasize that point, that the role of the ICP is to generate income so that there are community projects, and these projects are ordinarily projects which are not catered for by the state. The second point I wish to illustrate is that outside the performance environment is not an easy, smooth sailing. In some areas, there is a competition with other organs of state, and sometimes there are statutory conflicts. For instance, if I may indicate one thing, land is a national competence. But once you talk about traditional council, they are primarily provincial competences. As a result, if you take away land from Izinduna, there's almost nothing for them to do, because most of the time they allocate land to people. So you see clearly that land is under a different ministry, traditional affairs is under a different ministry. We now being entrusted with the responsibility of managing land, who have now in one part have to deal with traditional council because they administer land, whereas they've got no statutory authority to manage it, but they factor, they allocate land. I thought I should bring this to the attention of the committee, but also to bring and respond to the question about capacity, because that has been ongoing, but even more so, I think, at this stage we can report that sometime in 2016, we reached a point as a board where about 6 staff members had to be placed on suspension, initially on special leave, pending investigation, and thereafter with the investigation, they are now at a stage where they have been tasked. So that has impacted in many respects. Firstly, it diverts your capacity to manage now the industrial relations part, and secondly, it impacts on what those employees have been performing in their absence, because you cannot preempt what the ultimate outcome will be. With regards to the underlying causes for land invasion, for instance, I had the honorable member making reference to not so happy an undertaking by this committee to Newcastle, which happens to be my hometown. So I think initially when we got the information that there was land invasion last year in September, like ordinary people of South Africa, we immediately had in our mind who the culprit would be, because this was a politically instigated invasion. But it was not to be when we ultimately reached the ground. We decided that it was otherwise. It was some internal squabbles, but the fact of the matter is that that was that invasion. So our approach was a dual one. Honorable Mandela has asked whether we rely on ESTA or rely on PI. ESTA, I think, is clearly outside our jurisdiction. so we arrived on time. But what we did was we thought we must use a dual approach to have a legal protection, but we know that disputes like these do not get resolved by courts. And we spent more.
Is the judge saying dual or dual? Just want to be sure.
Couldn't have been the best one. Let's not go to dual.
Okay, thank you.
The point is this, with regards to land invasion, which is not only Newcastle, but Newcastle was the one. The kind of land invasion that we experienced, if I may make reference to Newcastle, of course we make reference to that. Everybody that invaded land in Newcastle, and I can't remember, because we went to court to get an interdict, but we decided not to execute it, but to engage the people. And we kept on postponing the case to allow the engagement to take place. As we currently speak, the case is to come to court on the sometime in August, if I'm not so. But as I'm currently speaking, there is a draft settlement agreement between the ICB and the people that have invaded land. The underlying cause, from what we were told, and it's quite understandable, these are not destitute people.
Okay.
These are the people who claim that they are overcrowded in their families.
Okay.
There is no available land by municipality for them. Some of them are able to buy, but certainly there is no affordable housing. That's what they have told us. And in the process, what has become evident, there are two groupings, but we have now put a joint committee, because talking two groupings in terms of political affiliation. Those two groupings, for the sake of convenience, they don't come from what you traditionally expected to be on the foreground of land invasion. So their affiliation is from parties that, at least in the province of KZN, are in some municipalities in government. So you would understand then that there is internal squabbles, leadership leading to elections, because this took place in September, just after August. So we felt, and I think we still believe so, that it was right that we engage the leadership of those people and even the municipality itself, because the mayor, for instance, who I last spoke to, admits to me, he says, look, I've got 29 housing programs, but they are all RDP projects. And the problem that you are dealing with there has nothing to do with RDP. These are working people, professionals, because we took photos, nurses, police officers, and so on. They, all they need is what they call gap houses. So, as a custodian of land in the province at ITV, so this, to some extent now, gravitates towards the question about MOA. We have been saying to municipalities, as long as we could, let us have a joint program. You've got regulatory power in terms of land, we've got land. But let us see how this land is made available. Municipalities have been nothing, diving, because through intergovernmental relations, we are enjoined to cooperate with organs of state, and therefore the MOAs are meant to design a delivery program in terms of how do you source land from us, and what conditions do we put in terms of infrastructure as well. So in a nutshell, that is what sometimes is kind of a delay and so on. But our attitude was that it would not be good public relations or even our mandate that we sit with a situation where you've got people who have invaded land, which is a violation of the law in our society. But at the same time, we are custodian of the land and that we use the brutal force that we have. I'm not saying always put on land. So we believe that by the time court day comes, these matters have been resolved amicably. That is how that I think goes. The issues about educational awards, if I may comment on that. Like I said, the question is, to what extent is this relevant to our mandate as Ngonyama Trust? I think, at least in the last 2 years, we've indicated that if one were to define the mandate, is why. But what is then happening within these communities is the following. With the transition from various status to now, some communities in the past, when there was what you call tribal authorities, when these traditional councils are collecting money from them, they used to provide vessels from people who come from their area with undertaking to come and serve them after a specific period. So in our discussion with them, they say this is the only public benefit you can still make available to children coming from rural areas, but because of management expertise, we prefer that joined with the ITP continue doing it. So that is the context of scholarship or bursaries and so on. But then what happened would be the following. If there is a mining house within a particular traditional council, the revenue that is generated from that mining house is allocated by the board, subject of course to whatever disbursement will be carried to that traditional council. We don't just spread it across, because that becomes another area for conflict. Communities are very particular that don't take our money and use it in another community. So we want to know what is due to us. It could be these mobile cellular network, it could be quarry, it could be anything, but they need to know how much they derive from that. And therefore, joined with them, then we come up with this scholarship. Therefore, the community beneficiaries is in terms of the legislation of the Ngonyama Trust Act. In a nutshell, a particular traditional council has got members, in other words, the community around there, and those are the beneficiaries. The money that gets allocated is dependent on what revenue is generated in that traditional country. The issue then of whether the land audit, how does it compete or relate to what the department makes, I think is complementary. It's complementary in this sense. The department may do a land audit to tell you how many people have what rights. It ends up there. From where we sit, land audit is on regular basis because traditional councils allocate land. They've got unwritten rules. Then you end up with a conflict. They tell you this land was allocated to X, but it disappeared without reporting and we have now reallocated and X comes back and he says he wants to claim his land, which he left 2 years back. I don't think with the best will in the world, the department will spend as much resources on those as we do. So when we mean land audit, we mean those details on regular basis. Some people leave and migrate because nothing is happening in their area. Immediately they hear that there's a mining coming back, now all of a sudden they migrate back. And now traditional countries sit with new allottees or new rights holders on land, but what do you do with those who left? Hence, we are proposing a far more formal system now of survey of all land, if we can, because you could have it, even the department, I'm not sure what data it would rely on, or anybody can rely on, because you have to rely on oral information. And depends, you find that one Induna who allocated is out there, the new Induna has got no institutional memory when this family arrived in the place and so on. That is essentially what I think we find ourselves having to do with the resources that we currently have we're not suggesting that we need to write and double or multiply it, but we're saying to understand the environment first, then you can determine what resources you need and what structure you need. I think to a certain extent up to now, I commented on the MOAs because they're not only with regards to municipalities, but organs of state, private sector, and so on. For instance, public works and SASA, mainly public works right now, when you talk about MOAs, what's happening? Public works has come to us because of the following. In terms of the law, government assets are registered in the name of public works mainly. And schools sometimes in the name of the department or in public works, the same with kids. I think it's fair to say at least 95% of government assets in Goyama are still registered in the name of the Goyama Trust. Now the question is, with the disappearance of institutional memory and so on, we must begin to say how are we going to ensure that the state has got the correct asset register in respect of these assets and we remain a partner also. Because this has got a number of implications. So that is essentially, among others, why we need MOAs. But we also need MOAs with institutions like ESCOM. Because ESCOM on a daily basis develops services when it brings power to rural communities. Sometimes you find that they only phone us because somebody has stopped them to say, look, you have encroached on my field. I don't want this thing because all of a sudden you're going to now prescribe to me how far away from your post I must have access to my land. The same thing with the Department of Transport, what it does when it constructs roads. On traditional areas, it advises the contractors to take quarry for nothing, no rehabilitation program, and leave sometimes deep holes, children fall on these holes and die, we sleep with that. So right now as I'm talking, I think about a meeting scheduled for tomorrow with the Department of Transport, because ultimately we're now agreed, because each time they go to a traditional council and say, Goyama Trust has already given us authority, we don't have time. So that is the essence of MOAs. Likewise, with mining houses, we find ourselves in an awkward situation. Department of Mineral Resources will grant a permit, either prospecting or mining rights, when the mining house has never approached us. Now we sit with a number of rights that have been granted, and people complaining, and we get blamed that we have given mining houses land to mine because we haven't done so. Those are the things which I was trying to sort out with Department of Mineral Resources as well as mining houses. I'm just giving this as an overview so that the other responses maybe may deal more on the substance of the question. Maybe just a few comments about what the chairperson has said, raised. The board members, as well as maybe workshop, the amount spent and so on. I think in real life, when you talk to many people about the Constitution, you must also ask yourself, where do you think they know it from? I'm talking about in deep rural areas, because in some areas we find that there are still practices. For instance, like a woman cannot be allocated land if she's unmarried. Now, whose role is it to make these people aware that this is unconstitutional? So when we talk about traditional support and training and workshops, Goyama Trust Board is not normally your normal board that just does oversight for time they walk away. We need to interface with these traditional communities on regular basis to say, look, the practice should now change. in some areas because of X, Y, and Z. So we spend a lot of our time updating people on what the current legal regime is in many instances, because in some areas you see how much money we spend now on legal fees. The question is, we find ourselves being dragged to court because of a decision which we did not take. So the workshops and other things relate, among others, to that. So it's troubling. In fact, in my view, the troubling is lesser than what it should be, because if this committee can just take the following example. The people that reside on Ngonyama Trust land are over 4 million. Right? And the traditional councils in Western Natal are over 300. Now, in a strict sense, you expect all these people, because they manage land, one way or the other, they must interface with Ngonyama Trust, which sit with a staff of less than 100, that with the best will in the world, you cannot meet all the time. Hence, what we try to do, we sometimes call a bigger meeting with traditional leaders as a workshop, once or twice. Likewise, serving them in this piece of land is not a one-day affair. So all in all, Chairperson, I was merely alluding to this and saying the overview of how this institution is and what it does is predicated on what happened on the ground. I may say this again, that when the Ngonyama Trust started functioning, it contributed a lot, in my view, in the stability in the province. Because at one stage there were areas which were no-go areas, depending on political affiliation. I think over a period of time, we have been a thorn to everybody, that we have created a neutral institution that serves the public, not ideologically. So thank you. I will then allow my colleagues, with your permission, Chairperson, to respond to as much questions as have been. Thank you.
I'm going to start with Honorable Mr. Chani, but I'm not going to cover those aspects that has already covered. The first issue was on the reason for the procurement delay on the issue of the IT. I must actually indicate that the first process, I think members would know that ITP is not private funding. So things like when you start formulating terms of reference, they take longer than expected. Because if you look at the level of staff, for example, most of them are level 9, 10. And then you have got 11. 11. So basically, some of the issues that relate to normal, what you regard as normal procurement, will take longer than actually anticipated. And that's that effect. Because they're very clear structure and then very lean at management level. And therefore, some of those challenges happen at that level. And that was the main reason for today, because they were formulating that process and trying to make sure that we do it at the most in terms of making sure that we try to align with the normal processes of advertising and actually that process. Because during that very same time, we starting to function with our normal CAC and DEC committees, which are also undertaking training, undergoing training around the same period. So basically, those are some of the challenges that we're training experiencing. With regard to performance agreements, when we say concluded, we mean finalized, signed, and that's the aspect of it. I think the chairperson has alluded to the capacity constraints, which obviously we to a very large extent happened during the third quarter and second and third quarter, because the suspension, the first and the especially started during the second quarter, and obviously then added into the very same little report that we had, which obviously you can't, at that point, you can't do anything, because you can't afford when the person is either on special leave or suffering. There's nothing you can do to have to do, except to try and do whatever and maximize with what you have. So basically that's what the issue was. Regarding the trial, I can only remember one project that was mainly affected to a very large extent, because the targeted ones are usually along the rivers where they don't run dry, most of them. So there's mainly one that has formed, I'll leave the one for Jamia and I'll take all of the other honorable members on the other. The land office, I think, as we have indicated, one of the other issues that was dealt with regards to the land office was also, as I indicated, the appointment of a land planning specialist in order to assist with the especially for the prime land, and that's why it's being undertaken. My son Matulin, the last author of the financial aid, because she took occupation during the trade course. It was one of the elements in terms of trying to improve some of the capacity in trade. I'm not going to deal with the land relations because the chairperson has dealt with it, as well as the MOUs and the benefits to the community. The issue of communication reports, they were done, but at some point we wasn't comfortable with the quality of the staff, so there was then that issue of them not being up to the level which they are supposed to be, and that's the best thing to do, because we are now currently reviewing in terms of how they should be referring properly to either internal communication as well as external communication, because the way they finally were not trying to the standards of the board, and that's why it says they were done, and then suddenly from a sectarian point of view they were done, but obviously they couldn't then be meeting the standards of the board. With regard to page 7, which is the MOU, maybe let me just say there isn't anything wrong with those reports, both of them. This is because these reports are not cumulative by nature. We're looking at the second quarterly report as the target that was set for the second quarterly report, and that's why we're reporting two there. And in the first quarter, there was nothing that was a target set for the MOU under that quarter as the APT. So we were not reporting cumulatively. If we were reporting cumulatively, we would have indicated something in terms of but we report that particular quarter. So probably maybe I omitted in my verbal reporting that this would have been because there was no target set for that item under that quarter. So that's where it anomaly would come from. In terms of also the CEO,
come again on the MOU for the APQ.
Okay. Under the quarterly target for third quarter. On 2.3. So the annual target is 4, especially if I don't have it in front of me yet. And then on quarter 2, which was supposed to have been 2. Quarter 2, which was supposed to have been 2. Right. And there was no achievement on that, because as I said, That is when the whole issue of the staff happened, because some of them were supposed to have been driving this part of the report. On quota 3, if we have stated a dash, that suggests that under that order, there was nothing for under that that would have been done. So I think as our narrating, I should have indicated that, so that then there is no confusion in terms of that particular aspect. Even though the total target was 4, but the total rate is not quarter 1, but sometimes when you say quarter 1, you are still preparing something and then you are supposed to achieve this in quarter 2 and then the last would be in quarter 1. So that would have been the reason for the anomaly, the honorable reason, and I take the point that I should have actually clarified this without doing the presentation. The turnaround plan also on the under expenditure, in spite of the fact that I think Chairperson has indicated this, part of it is that our staff are currently on the ground working with the traditional councils that have got a high amount on the TC budget to come up with clear business plans for implementation so that we can realize the expenditure, because we cannot just dictate to them what should happen, but we need to work with them and to make sure that it happens. The business specialist within ICT has been working with them to come up with business plan. We should have seen proper expenditure in the next financial year, with proper business plan that has been actually finalized during this financial year for implementation in 2017 financial year. The chairperson, the chairperson asked about the land audit, and I think the judge responded to that. Maybe also on the traveling, let me also add, as the judge has indicated, that part of the high expenditure on under traveling is also caused by the fact that for every single application, in the process in terms of our turnaround, our surveyors must go home out to survey the land. And as indicated in terms of the number of and the extent of the problems, because we make our surveyors are based in Mary Street. And therefore they come up, if there's too much, there's a link, if you look at it, between the turnaround in terms of the improvement of the penalized application during the third quarter is 253. And that would directly be linked to the survey being done. And if you look at that and in the last quarter, probably when you finally get to the last quarter, after this, you have 551 approval. And that would be linked directly to the traveling that would have been then would have done prior to the actual penalized being approved. And therefore it's because of our mainly centralized surveyors, as well as other related parties that are supposed to be undertake to support the community. The agricultural project, I think I've spoken to them in the sense that there is one that was affected, mainly that I knew that was affected by agriculture. But there are also in various districts in the province. There are some under Utu, there are some under Hedipa. So they are spread all over as well in order to try and assist our communities to be secure.
But I think on that one, the CFO must just explain the issue of the 1.3, the monetary issue.
Oh, okay. I think if there is any other of the community commission, I think I've covered them. Yeah, I think the rest are fine to take.
Chairperson, on the question of administration costs in life, we know that in terms of our budget structure, the salary cost of personnel is actually not included in the program option. But we are using that example for future budgets. If we have to take our salary cost for personnel, that are actually that are being worked on the involved in the programs, which is land management, traditional council support, then it will change the ratio of between the programs. So it is something that we are aware of, and it's something that we are going to look to implement in the future budgets. Because the salary cost makes up the bulk amount of the admin costs. And if the salary was properly put to the cost center, then we would find an even ratio between administration and programs. The question on land management, quarter two, we spent 299,000, quarter three, 8,300. In quarter two, we undertook the land valuation exercise, which was completed in quarter two. There was just a minor amount that was paid for in quarter three, but we didn't undertake any land valuation exercise in quarter three. There's a question raised on the external audit. When does that happen? External audit happens annually. We don't have an interim audit as such. It's undertaken by the Auditor General. And we've noticed that in quarter two, because of the presence of the auditors in that period, you find most of the expenses. In other words, a major portion of audit expenditure is coming in quarter two. Therefore, quarter two, 369,000, and quarter three, 45,000. In other words, quarter three is when the actual audit was finalized. And you would recall that the auditors did engage with us in quarter three because of the separation of entities. traveling cost, quarter two, 302,000, quarter three, 1.2 million. I must say here that based on the timing of the invoices received, we account for the expenditure. However, you would note that the staff in the real estate section have to go out the surveyors have to go out to various parts of the province. And in terms of the numbers, you will notice that the actual work for real estate, for land, the number of leases to be approved by the board. A lot of the work was done in quarter three rather than quarter two. Therefore you will find more challenges in quarter three as compared to quarter two. There is a question raised on board members. I think the committee will note that for quarter two the amount spent was 470 and quarter three 844. You will note that there were five new board members appointed. I think it was around the 5th of July in forward. So therefore you won't find that expenditure, an increase in expenditure in quarter two. Rather, after appointment of board members, subsequent to July, you will find the expenditure for board member expenditure. There was a question raised on agricultural projects. Unfortunately, I don't have the actual plan for the program for the actual, the projects that were undertaken. However, we do know that there was an equal amount spent in both quarters. I'm sure we can make that available. There was a question raised on the issue of cleaning and repairs. We did incur expenditure in the first quarter for 182,000 and the second quarter was 199,000. We did incur. And finally, I think there was a question on the under expenditure on capital. We did anticipate and therefore budgeted around 17 million for the construction of office accommodations. However, we are reviewing the general plan and reassessing the requirements in terms of office accommodation, and therefore we did budget this again in 2017-2018 year. So therefore we find the major under expenditure under capital expenditure. But in the fourth quarter you'll find an increase in the capital expenditure. I think that concludes my response.
Another member, are there any follow-up questions on the issue of support, the remuneration of the board members? You're saying you've got that through. How many board members do you have got that through? Let's come back to quarter three, where you said the new board members are appointed. Let's clarify that. Because you're saying the difference here is 470,000 and 844,000. Because in quarter three there were new board members that were appointed. Can you just simplify, clarify that? How many board members we have in quarter two vis-à-vis the quarter three?
Chairperson, the term of office of board members, the committee would recall all the board members, with exception of the chair of the board, who stands determined by two requirements, the nomination as a royal nominee or king, which is not time related. So the board is for 8 members. So effectively, 7 members, term of office came to an end. So when a new board was then appointed, the first thing, there had to be more meetings than normal in terms of orientation and work from. And also the new board members, because not that all were reappointed, some were new, they come from afar. They must come a day before to put up in a hotel. For instance, now one member coming right at the border between Mozambique and Colombia, one member coming from Ukraine, which is close to Newcastle, and some coming from South Coast. So, yes.
We're talking about the remuneration. Does that include the remuneration
of people? Yes, no, I understand. I think maybe the word remuneration is loosely used, unless the CFO will correct me. My understanding is that board members play for travel, in other words, is disbursement for spending on car repairs. That's what it includes, that I understand. I don't think it includes accommodation. It would be your S&C and your travel. That's my understanding.
I think, in the when you explain, can you please link that to the traveling that you've explained before of 1.2 million? That's to the traveling of staff only. It was not including the board members, the 1.2 million that we've been talking about vis-à-vis the 302,000.
I think if I will keep it with the Honorable Chair, I'll have to get some figures, the trend figures of two segments, one was for the staff and one was for the board members. And I would refer that I have been said to the minister said. But I just wanted to make reference to the fact that during the period in the third quarter, I think there were 6 meetings. There were actually 8 meetings that took place during that quarter. And the claim of board members includes professional hours, it includes preparation and all. So it would have been within that. But over and above that, we have other meetings outside the normal board meetings. where three board members will be meeting with the TC because there's a dispute within that particular area. And therefore, the board member will also claim for them. And that can be the claim. But I think in order for us to be accurate, Chairperson, can I request that you be given an opportunity to actually do a full analysis and present to the committee, because we didn't actually have the actual details in terms of the analysis.
Responding to that, you must also assist us to explain the travel, accommodation, meeting, vis-à-vis the board remuneration. You must not make the two things. They are separate. According to me, they are separate.
Honourable members, any follow-up? Honourable Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. When Devin Gwena was speaking up, he said something about municipality having regulatory powers to make regulations on land use and others, but that the municipalities have the regulations, we have the land. So, and that's why the municipalities, they do not have land. The land is with the ITP. So which to some extent the difference between municipalities in KZN and other areas where we don't have the ITP, municipalities don't have that kind of tension in the area, like the way it is in KZN because of the ITP. The ITP owns the land. The municipalities do not, because most of the land falls in traditional authorities. And in South Africa, there is no municipal, there is no area that does not fall under what. So which means those who are in case that they are disadvantaged, those municipalities compared to other areas and provinces. That's my understanding. And of course, we have heard before that there's been tension between the ITP and municipalities and some of the litigation that was between ITP and some municipalities in the one of the meetings in the last 2 years about the litigation between ITP and municipalities. So now my question is, How would you see us solving this problem of the ITP making land available to municipalities so that municipalities can have land that they can allocate for housing and others? And on the question of the board, the impression I get is that the ITP board is different from other boards that I know of, where members of the board are hands-on. They go to meetings and they are like actually an extension of the staff. Because if they attend meetings where they are presentation, how different are they from the staff? So.
The issue of the agricultural project, the 1.3. I remember one day we visited the ITP, we talked about the yellow green chapter, about the chapter somewhere, but we didn't get really who is in control, who's managing those chapters that ITP is buying for the people, and also the accessibility of those chapters to the community. Then the other one is the issue, the payment. We raised the issue on the payment of beneficiaries, the 1.5 million. Just to find out how many beneficiaries, how many community members have benefited from this 1.5 million, in how much a member, what was it for, you know? If we can just clarify on this issue. The last one, I think, is the issue of accounting beneficiaries. Now, the ITP accounts to those communities where the income is being generated, that money is being used for the benefit of those people. How often do you go to those communities and tell them, look, ladies and gentlemen, this financial year was generated so much, we've used so much for that and that and that, and here's the outstanding balance. How often are those people aware what is happening? If you can just, tomorrow this committee, wake up in the morning and go to one of the community, ITP, you know, community, can those people be able to tell us really what is happening? Accountability. I think the Honourable Chaplain has asked one question because I was really confused. If board members can go down to the community, train the community, you know, can I just be schooled? We've got the training officers in the ITP, we've got traditional councils, we've got traditional leaders. When looking at the budget, most of the budget is being spent in trainings, in workshops, in Warawara. So the train the trainer, can't we foresee maybe one day using the train the trainer program, calling traditional councils, train them, then they must go down to train the communities so that we can take most of the money for the benefit of the of those communities under the ITP land. Because when looking at the budget, training, workshop, training, workshop, I'm even confused. Each and every time we train, why can't take that money be just invested back to those communities? And it's particularly than the my fundamental. You can take that money and increase the number of those educational awards. Can we get your view? Honorable Victor, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. It's just that for a matter that requires that I go out and communicate the health related issue. So the judge said that in response to my query around the use of the money, the allocation of more resources to administrative issues and related matters, said that their understanding is that the budget that they get from government is meant exactly to address those issues. Can we get a comment from the Honorable Minister on that issue, that indeed there isn't an expectation on the part of government that the budget that gets allocated to ITB could be used to actually implement, you know, the projects? And if that is the case, is there a possibility that there could be an adjustment on the allocation of the money, not in terms of quantity, but to say on the conditions of making the allocations to ITB, so that a percentage of the budget allocation can actually be used to implement the projects, developmental projects of the ITB? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Ajay. The treasury, the follow-up control just to my earlier question around the dynamics around rent availability. Did it indicate that there exists in the area a formal relationship with municipalities? And I think in your program too, around land management, you indeed have a strategic objective to speak to making land available for infrastructure development of district municipalities. Given your response, the judge did indicate that land is a major challenge in KZN. Municipalities don't have land in your example in relation to Newcastle. Does this MOU somehow also extend to the possibility of making land available for housing development in cases in
Chief
I'd prefer a follow-up comment. It's just that much. Unless it answers everyone would ask, then my public comment. The turnaround plan would ask for the under-expenditure in quarter 2 and 3. That will indicate as to how much we should, how much we can recover in terms of the other expenditure. That's my question, notwithstanding any other explanation. Nonetheless, we need by the end of the year, which is the end of this week, we would need you to have spent the rest of the allocated budget. How you're going to do it, we don't know. You know the tools. Some of the tools are application to total for this or that. But the turnaround plan number, let's say, before we receive quarter four, because by the time we receive quarter four, the financial year would be over. Thank you so much. That's the only comment.
Thank you, Chair. I will attempt to answer some of the questions. Firstly, with regards to land, I think we need to emphasize that there is not so much land that is unencumbered that is administered by the ITP. So whether it is ITP or no ITP, the tension with municipalities will be there with some. In this specific instance, to which the Honorable Chamberlain refers to, my understanding in the province is that, one, you've got traditional leaders that are paid part of administering land. ITB only administers land at a different level. I think it is a common story that the traditional leaders in KZN have objected even to a number of legislations, like SLUMA, etc. Those are the people who, in real terms, are in tension with municipalities, because municipalities take an approach that if they want land, they must do what they like without contacting. And traditional leaders object to that. It's not the IGB, because with the staff that we have, I don't see where with all these municipalities interface with us on regular basis. So the starting point is that whether it's KZN or elsewhere, municipalities have a tension with somebody as far as land is concerned. Let me give one illustration, for instance, in KZN, where we got involved. The municipality approve of a commercial development in terms of its regulatory power. The land is under the traditional leader, that's the person they were interfacing with. We have to give consent in terms of legislation after all the arrangements have been made. The tension now immediately arises because municipal officials and councillors want to get involved in employing the people for the development. And the traditional leader says, I brought this development, I must have a say, and you've got traditional, you've got municipality leaders. So the tension and the talk has always been, if ICP was not there, there would be no tension at the beginning. That, in my view, is not our fault. We, as board members and officials, have to administer a legislation that has been passed in Parliament as best as we can in our opinion. So our comments were now reporting to lawmakers. How that law is, we just follow how it is written. And therefore, it is correct that ITP board is different to any board because of how the legislation reads and how it is created. If you read our legislation, it would give a better understanding why board members will attend meetings with traditional leaders. Why board we, regardless whether there was adequate staff or not, the board will still play an active role as opposed to many boards that you'll find in the private sector. I'm not sure about the other communal trust, for instance, how effective they are both are, but essentially we follow the legislation as far as this. With regards to the accountability, I think the best that we do is that the law says whatever we do must be subject to the consent of the traditional council. That is the extent to which we come. The members of that community, what the number is and how we interface, I don't think we'll be reporting the truth that we can interface beyond the traditional council, unless those people come at the invitation of the traditional council. That's how our legislation reads. We cannot determine because each traditional council has got members coming in and some leaving. Is that flat? Our legislation, the legislation that we administer, says subject to a consent by the traditional council. We believe those are the people who intend to report to the people. So when I made a reference earlier on to municipalities, Northern, I said we are the custodians in the legal sense. I do not say we hold that. But the truth of the matter is simple. Municipalities have enough money to buy land. But in turn, what they do, they just do like mining, and I won't generalize to this, some of them. They do just like mining houses. We have decided to put a community hall here. No prior land audit is there, they put a structure. That is where the tension arises. Not because of ITP, not because of anything else. That's how far I can comment on that, and I'll leave it to my colleagues to proceed.
Okay, maybe just on the same issue, I must say that we also do work with municipalities at the same time. When they are putting housing development, we come through the process and the proper approvals are given for those things to attend. And since the Honourable Chair and also the Honourable Members can also know that, for example, even in the Newcastle matter of land invasion, ICP was working with the municipality in order to deal with the land invasion itself. So basically, yes, as the chairperson of the Human Transport has indicated, in some instances their attention, but at the same time, we do work together. We are open to states, and therefore, we will obviously find ways of working together for the benefit of the community that we both serve. Being ICP in terms of the rural communities, people living in the different areas, as well as municipalities in terms of fulfilling their mandates as the constitution. I think the issue of the turnaround plan, we will have to try to do and communicate
it.
Okay, the other one, I think we take note, Chairperson, for the committee in terms of the approach of the chain to chain, and I think it's a good suggestion in terms of moving forward on dealing with the massification and training programs, and making sure that more people are actually on the ground trained in the various issues that this community is to be trained on. With regard to who is managing the tractor, the team on the matchup board is managing the tractor, and they are allocated out the fact that I sent a schedule in terms of where they are and linked to which project and the only projects that are actually happening, so all of them actually out there in terms of working for the benefit of the community. Because obviously, on the moving towards the winter season, they are likely going to be working during that time, but I will provide a report where they've been during the planting season, which is started from the 31st of to the last quarter of the financial year. I would also request that on the 1.5, because it requires a detailed breakdown of who benefits, I think we would request, if possible, if we can be given an opportunity to try and provide the report.
Therefore, would you want to say something?
Excuse me, Chair, the Deputy Chair also wanted to say.
I think on the point of beneficiaries knowing the amount of money that they have, they actually know, because most of the disbursements to the community are dependent on the request by the traditional counties in terms of what they need for the community, and through the disbursement policy in terms of what they can cover. And that in most cases, they can tell the traditional county members to tell them based on the amount of money that ICD holds on their behalf. So it's no secret that is kept by the ICD in terms of how much money each of the each of the communities has. And I think one other thing that the chapters in explaining the allocation of bus services are going to make is that there are bus services that are allocated by the city from their own funds, but there are bus services that are also paid for by the ICD from the ICD fund, and those are for the benefit of those children, mainly whose business emergency services have income generating activities in their area.
thank you very much for the responses. And, in the issue of accountability, I think emphasizing that very much important. Accountability, accountability, accountability. To those communities. Just according to my understanding, I don't see any conflict between the traditional leader with regards to the project, who has got the project in that area, because to me, the traditional funders have been formed where all stakeholders are represented. So the working together of the traditional leader and the traditional funders, you know, on the issue of development. We enacted that traditional, what is it, traditional council, yeah, framework act to try and avoid the conflict, especially with regards to development. That there should be a working relationship between traditional leaders and all the stakeholders within the community. But if there's a conflict, you know, me, we have brought this school here, so I must appoint or I must recruit people who will be working in that project. I don't see any why it should happen like that, because of what the act in place. Why are the traditional councils existing if they have got no role to play with regards to developmental issues on tribalism? Community resolution. You touched the issue of the community resolution that sometimes we find that the department is issuing the mining prospects or the mining rights. But according to the law, before that is being issued, there should be a community resolution. It can't be issued without a community resolution. So it means that there's a problem. We pass legislation, but at the end of the day, you know, the implementation is at our.
Another one.
Sure, thanks very much. I think that the tensions are there, whether we involve traditional leaders or with regards to municipalities. This is a great challenge. We have a current challenge, a couple of them are complicated in that we involve traditional leaders of communities and outside. So we are trying to involve them. Secondly, the relationship between I do not experience the situation, but even with it, I'm suffering. I don't get it. Traditional castles don't have the ability to deal with issues because even the matras comes in. I find that actually the handling method on their own, the traditional castles, is another that they have to change the issue. So, that relationship exists with its own tensions as well. It's not as if there's a very tension of relationship between ICD and traditional markets itself. So my conclusion is that I am convinced that it's not an easy relationship, it's not a smooth relationship. Traditional countries do have the agreement of the mistakes and so on. Finally, we've done development in communal lands, it was in Malta, where there's ICD land, etc. But I haven't seen anybody from the ICD coming in. We enter into relationships, different relationships with traditional councils who do the work that they do in development. They publicly talk to them. So I'm saying I haven't had a sense that today in Kenya was disclosed by the ICD relationship to the extent that traditional councils can't develop and they don't develop strengths and no problems. Some of the problems that we're trying to solve is so I'm saying that I'm listening to the judge at the same answer and I was trying to pick up something that would be different because we haven't.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Minister. I think we'll come to the end of this session. But let me emphasize this before we conclude the session that the committee are waiting the consumer charter, the stakeholder engagement strategy to finalize them. The policies that were set up have been approved by the board, the SMT, the IT, the backup, the management. You can just think that they're going to bring the whole file that you want to see. The vacant fund approved has been filled. I think as this committee, one day we have to just go out and meet with the beneficiaries. Hear from the beneficiaries themselves of the support that we're getting in this program so that at the end of the day we are able to get a sense of what is happening. Then the turnaround plan, as said by the Honorable Mbuni, it has not been submitted. The information has been submitted within 7 days. Because it's already there. But as the committee wants to see the alignment between the spending and the service delivery. Because we can't spend more and achieve less. To us, it doesn't make sense. And also, what we're expecting, the revenue that is being generated in those communities. Both back and access must be in
address the Indian community in one way or the other. I think also we have to just within 1 month, you know, the community issue of the educational award. That's traditional cancer also award from that service and also ITP. But I think also we need to do more on that. We want to see the revenue generated to develop those communities. So that at the end of the day, we are working together to deal with the issue of poverty. We are aware that the rate of unemployment is very high, so we have to work together to make sure that we address some of the challenges that the country faces. We are still emphasizing that the over expenditure, under expenditure, wasteful expenditure, one is going to allow us. I think the PSMA is clear on that one. We have to account for whatever cent that is spent. We must know where it is coming. If it's 1.2 million, we need to know where was it spent. And the other one, the movable asset register. I think we have to just have that one. The other thing that I wanted to emphasize, at the beginning of each and every financial year, the department and the entities, they are submitting their APPs. At the beginning of the term, we submit the stress plan. But at the beginning of each and every financial year, we submit the APP. And as the committee, we make you to account on the APP that has been submitted by you, not someone else. But if you come here, when we ask you a question on the APP that has been submitted by you, then you start to tell us that, no, we don't have capacity. Then you start to ask yourself, when you plan, what was your intention? Were you intending to buy capacity at ShopRite? Where? Because you can't plan, then when you fail to implement, then you tell us about capacity constraints. Doesn't make sense. I've indicated, honourable members, that we need, one day we need to just go out and meet those communities who are awaiting information on this agricultural project. What is it? And we cost them, because we want to know the 1.2, 1.5 million. Where was it used? And who benefited out of this? Then the last one is that the consistency. There was one issue that has been raised by Honorable Mbuli. When looking at the second quarter report, comparing it with the first quarter report, you are not giving us the same information. You just decide, in this report we're going to write this. In that report we're not going to write this or write this. For instance, you just table the annual budget, the expenditure per quarter, not the budget per quarter and the expenditure. So you need to make sure that when you submit reports, you give us the information that we want, not the information that we want. Awaiting the issue of the schedules of your tractors. One day, so I figure that my tractors are going to be able to do anything. That's the ITP, my tractors. The tractors are for the community. So we don't want to see a situation whereby community you can't, you know, kill because we don't have, you know, equipment. Why not equipment up on the way how the ICP is coming? Thank you very much, honorable member. Just the officer who in the team. Can we have just 38 minutes left so that we can continue with our second session of the meeting? Thank you very much. Oh.